Now we're going to start in Philippians chapter 3 this morning. Also, I put what I've been preaching on heaven, I put an album back there, and it's there if you want to get that. It's 7 or 8 messages, I don't remember now. But that's there if you want to get that and give it to somebody, whatever. Philippians chapter 3. We're going to talk about something this morning, and I've really been studying a lot and thinking a lot about this, and I've really... The Lord's helped me to put this together, I think, and I believe, and so I hope it'll help you to understand this thing and make a difference in your life. Philippians chapter 3, I just wrote down verse 9, but we need to back up here and read just a little bit more than that. Let's start in 7. Now, Paul has been talking here about his past, what he was. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees and all that, circumcised the 8th day and all that, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. But in verse 7, he says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." And here's the verse. "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith." So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Is it my righteousness or God's righteousness? And what does it mean, really? They talk about it in a lot of the churches, you know, the big deal. God's righteousness, my righteousness. But we're going to look at this a little deeper this morning. Pray with me. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the songs we've heard in the special. Thank you, Lord. I pray you'd bless the Word of God now, that may it have free course. Pray you'd quicken my mind and help me, Lord, to stay focused and be able to say things right. And in a way that the Spirit of God could make it understandable to those who listen. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, we're living in a time when righteousness is not an issue with most people. We've got Christians now that cuss. We got Christians that drink booze. We got Christians that don't think they need to come to church. We got Christians that live in fornication openly and come to church and act like nothing's wrong. You know, it's no big deal. Righteousness, what is it? It doesn't matter anymore to most people. It's a non-issue. Doesn't have a thing to do with being saved. Doesn't have a thing to do with going to heaven. Doesn't have a thing to do with having a relationship with God or being a Christian. That's not even, what are you talking about? I don't know. Well, I just want you to know that it's not always been that way. Now, we don't have to read much in the Bible before we realize that it is a big issue with God. Amen. Righteousness is a big issue with God. And we don't have to study much history of the church and of Israel to realize that it has always been a very important issue throughout all the ages that man's been on this earth. Why is it not an issue now? Well, I'm fixing to try to point that out to you and help us to understand. We need to consider why it's no longer an issue with modern professing Christians. There's some reasons why that it's no longer an issue. There's reasons why. And we can put our finger on them. We can point out a lot of them this morning to you. I'm not going to get them all. There's no way. There's other things besides what I'm going to talk about. But I believe these are the main reasons that nobody cares anymore. Why nobody believes anything anymore. Why you can't tell the difference between people who claim to be Christians and people who don't anymore. I mean, I think we need to understand why that Christians can do all these things. And they can marry and divorce and remarry and do all this stuff just for the same reasons as the world does. And nobody thinks a thing about it. There's reasons. We need to know, and we need to care. You will when you stand before God. Righteousness is going to be a big issue when you stand before God. For the saved and for the lost. It's not the atonement for our sin. No, that's not what it is. But you cannot separate it from it. There's no way that you can be a child of God and with no practical righteousness in your life. All right? It's not an issue because righteousness has been redefined. And it's become, and what everybody thinks, it's an abstract idea instead of a practical reality. Modern doctrine teaches that righteousness is some kind of thing. It's some kind of thing that God does in heaven apart from us. It's just something that God does. It's something that God has. It's something like sin is something that's apart from us. No, it's not. Sin is not, and neither is righteousness. Yes, amen. Hope you understand that. It exists totally in our imagination, and it's irrelevant to how we live our lives here on earth. In other words, you can be righteous before God, but wicked in your practice. No, sir. Now, that's what everybody believes now. They believe they're going to heaven because they've been saved and baptized. But they're wicked. They'll even stand in front of the church, and some will stand behind the pulpit and say, I'm wicked. I'm no more than a sinner, and you're no more than a sinner, but I'm righteous. What a contradictory, what a confused mess is that? We can be nothing more than sinners saved by grace and still be seen as righteous by God because He's cooked the books in heaven for us. You got it? Now that's what I've heard for 40 years in church, plus. I've heard that stuff. And I don't believe it. I know it's not right because I've read my Bible and I've studied my Bible and I've studied the history of the church and I've took a big look at this whole thing instead of just keeping my nose in this last 20, 30 years here where everything's went to nothing. I don't get my information from contemporary preachers and writers. God's really denying the truth about us and imagining us to be righteous while we're living wickedly because He just loves us so much. Now, that's what's being taught, and that's what everybody believes, and that's why righteousness is a non-issue anymore. Now, that's the basic reason right there. Now, we're going to go deeper here, but I'm just saying to you, everybody's got a wrong idea about it. Righteousness has been painted up to be something bad if you claim that you have any. It's something that's apart from us. It's something that's in heaven that God's recorded, that God has juggled the books up there and fixed it so that God sees us as righteous even though we're wicked. Not true at all. Man, what are you trying to do to God? Make Him an old, confused old man that's doing like people here? Living in denial and denying the truth and reality while living in a fantasy? That's insanity. And God ain't insane. People are. God sees you. You better believe it. He sees you just like you are. He knows your thoughts afar off. And He knows your down sittings and your uprisings. And He knows exactly what you are. He knows exactly what I am. And He ain't pretending that I'm something that I'm not. And He ain't pretending that you're something that you're not. And you ain't going to get into heaven on that kind of fantasy. Righteousness, according to the dictionary. I'm talking about Webster's 1828 dictionary. You don't know what it means. I reckon it's going to tell us that it's something apart from us that's in heaven. It's a mystical, supernatural, spiritual thing that we can never attain to. You think He's going to say something like that? Number one. Purity of heart and rectitude of life. Conformity of heart and life to the divine law. That's righteousness, according to the dictionary. And that is exactly what it means. We can go to the Bible and prove that that's what it means. Righteousness, as used in Scripture and theology, in which it is chiefly used. In other words, nobody talks about it out there. The lost world doesn't talk about righteousness. It's talked about in the scriptures, and it's talked about in theology, and we talk about it in church. But now the church is the same as the world, and so they don't talk about it. It's a non-issue. It's nearly equivalent to holiness. And without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You know the Bible does say that. You know the Bible says, be ye holy, even as he is holy. It even says, be ye perfect, as he's perfect. Your Father in heaven is perfect. It says a lot of those things that people deny and ignore now. But anyway, it means comprehending holy principles and affections of heart and conformity of life to the divine law. Conformity of life. This is not just your mind. It's not just thinking. It's not just knowing to do right but not being able. It's not, knowing the difference. It's doing the difference. Doing right. Not just thinking. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. And I've got a lot more scriptures to go with that, but I mean, oh my. All right, there's some more. It just means justice, equity between man and man. Righteousness is when we treat one another right in God's eyes. Right. It's the cause of our justification. The Lord, our righteousness. Jeremiah chapter 23. All right, now there's a number of doctrines that simply make practical righteousness a non-issue. These doctrines were not a part of the early church thinking. All these that I'm going to talk about, they didn't talk about this stuff. They didn't think about it. They didn't talk in these terms. They didn't understand the gospel. They didn't understand righteousness and sin in the terms that these new modern doctrines have put them into. These doctrines were not a part of the early church thinking, and they're only supported by twisting the scriptures and ignoring what the Bible says. You either got to twist it or you got to ignore it. You got to rest it and make it say something that it doesn't by taking it out of context and making it mean something that it don't. Or you got to just flat ignore it. They've been propagated for the past few decades, and they've taken root and spread like cancer through all the churches. And now these things I'm going to mention, they're the foundation for all other doctrine. These things that I'm going to talk about, they're the foundation. And if you do not agree with these new benchmarks, you're a heretic. Any doctrine that you can show out of the Bible or from the early church, if it doesn't agree with these new benchmarks, then it's a heresy. Even if you can show it right out of the Word of God. They say, I don't believe it. It can't be true because it don't go along with what we believe. That's why righteousness is a non-issue. Okay, now, first there's this new doctrine of love. This is I've studied about this too, in the Bible and in history. But all of the idolatry that was in Israel, the pagan religions and all of that, you know what their main subject always was? Love. A perverted, earthly, sensual love. Idea of love. And that's exactly what we got now. We got now this thing where love overrules everything else. The overwhelming factor in everything is that God loves everybody and approves of everybody. And as what I said the other day, I seen this person talking about God approved me long before I was ever born and before there was ever anybody to disapprove of me. Now you believe that? That fits everybody, don't it? That fits sodomites all the way from one end of the spectrum to the other. Everybody can embrace that and get under that umbrella. God approves me? Show me that in the Bible. Show me. Ain't no such language in the Bible at all. God doesn't approve you while you're living in wickedness. And that person, by the way, does and always has. But she's found a good place to get. We're all at where you feel comfortable, see? I can live the way I want to, and I'm still approved of God. See, that's what I'm talking about here this morning. See? Righteousness doesn't matter. My righteousness doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I live right or don't live right. Because God's fixed it for me. It's all up in heaven. He's got it in these books and everything, and he's counted me as righteous because of Jesus. Well, there's some truth that's mixed in to all that poison, but that's not the way it is. All right, this overwhelming factor in everything is that God loves everybody and proves everybody. And so if we criticize or condemn something, we are unloving. And therefore, we're not real Christians. Because real Christians love and accept everybody, no matter what. Have y'all heard that? Are you listening to anything out there? I mean, do you hear that from people out there? Do you see that? That's exactly what everybody believes. And it's being backed up in churches they go to. And this by the same people who at the same time say we can't judge one another. Those same people that'll get on Facebook or wherever and say, you're not loving. You can't be a real Christian because you don't love, because you're saying these people are bad or evil or this is wrong or wrong to do. They say you can't judge. But that deal there, the no judging, that only applies to people who make an issue of practical, personal righteousness. Everybody else free to judge. Everybody else free to put you in hell anytime they want to because you don't love, they say. Well, the Bible says that if you don't chasten your son, you hate him. It doesn't say spare the rod and spoil the child. It says he that spareth his rod hateth his son. Because he won't correct him when he's wrong. And God chastens those that are his. Every son he receives, he chastens. Yes. And if you're not chastened by God, you're not a son of God. That's what the Bible teaches very plainly. So, if you love somebody and their house is on fire, you're going to tell them if it offends them or not. You're going to hate. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. You can't. You can't love without hating. That's right. You gotta hate that which is destructive and damning and wrong. And you gotta love that which is true. But this new idolatrous form of Christianity, they say it's Christianity. It ain't. It's just the same as all the other pagan religions and idolatrous things that have ever been on this earth. You love, no matter what. And you accept people for what they are because God loves everybody just like they are. Righteousness don't matter. That's what I'm preaching against this morning. I'm trying to show you why it doesn't matter in this generation, but it always has before. All through the thousands of years of human history and God dealing with people, it has absolutely mattered. And God has destroyed the world one time, completely drowned everything that had breath because of their lack of righteousness. He would not have destroyed Sodom and the cities of the plain if there'd been 10 righteous people. But there weren't. No righteousness, God destroyed them. And now we got a generation living on the brink here who say righteousness don't matter. And righteousness ain't what you say it is. Your doing right is filthy rags. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. But this new doctrine of love and this judging, not judging people and all that, what it's done is it has made righteousness, personal righteousness, a non-issue. And we're forbidden to talk about it. We're forbidden to define it. We're forbidden to set any parameters for it, for righteousness. You know, people won't come to church because they ain't gonna tell me how to dress, where I can go, where I can't go, what I can watch, what I can do, what I can drink, what I can smoke. I ain't gonna tell me what. See? Can't define it. You can't set any parameters. We can't even say anymore that anything is wrong. Well, we can't even say that it's wrong for two men to get married or a man and a dog to get married or anything. We can't say that because you can't judge and because God loves everybody, you know, and you're just being hateful. You're a hater for saying it's wrong. We're forbidden from it. And we're forbidden from even saying what the Word of God says about it. There's a big issue in California because they're outlawing everything, even the Bible out there. And people trying to help people that are confused about their gender and everything else, and they're outlawing them being able to tell them anything about what the Bible says or contradict it in any way. The law is making it illegal and forbidden anybody from trying to help them. Straighten them out. Leave them alone. That's what they are. Let them be what they want to be. No matter what it does to them. And they say they love them and we hate them. Lie. Upside down. Backwards. Truth. Falling in the street. Judgment turned around backwards. Then there's this doctrine of original sin. I just run by it because everybody knows and I talk about it enough. But all this idea that all flesh is sinful and we're just flesh and we're just... So we're always going to be sinful until we die and get out of this flesh. That idea makes righteousness not even matter. I mean, why would it matter? We're born sinners, they say, and guilty before God because of Adam. And even after we're saved, we're nothing more than a sinner saved by grace. Is that what they teach? Yes!
Yes, sir.
You ain't going to go nowhere where you ain't going to hear that junk. In Baptist churches, this makes personal righteousness a non-issue. It makes no difference whether you try to live right or not because you're just a helpless sinner and always will be. And God understands. And grace covers it all. Hallelujah. Pass me another beer. Yeah. There's this doctrine of sin, debt, and payment where Jesus paid for our sins, past, present, and future. And therefore, no matter how we live, we're going to heaven. If we simply say a sinner's prayer and get baptized, that makes righteousness a non-issue because there's no point in being concerned about how we live if it's all paid for and taken care of. Hey, we're home free. Don't worry about it. There cannot be any other consequence from believing that kind of doctrine. It won't take you nowhere else. It's not going to take you to holier, more righteous living. It's going to take you to looser, more unholy living. Every one of these will. The doctrine of imputed righteousness is another doctrine that makes personal, practical righteousness here in this life a non-issue. This is the teaching that our personal righteousnesses are nothing but filthy rags, because there's a verse in Isaiah that says that. Yank it out of context. Make a doctrine out of it. Change everything else that the Bible says about it. Ignore it or twist it so that we can believe this way. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. I've heard that so many times that I want to throw up. Makes me angry. Makes me sick because it's being misrepresented and it's being taught and used to influence people's thinking in a wrong way. Amen. The only righteousness that matters, they say, is God's righteousness, which is some mysterious thing that is imputed to us in heaven somehow, regardless of how we live or what we do here in this life on earth. Now that's what they're teaching as imputed righteousness. That God writes it down. He writes me down as righteous where no righteousness has been, the song says, I think. Well, he does, but not like that. He does, but it's not for that reason. Hang on. Don't turn it off yet, because we're going somewhere with all this. It's like imputed righteousness is like a scheme where God shuffles the books in heaven so that we're somehow righteous in His sight while we live wicked here on earth. And people who believe this, they make light of and they ridicule anyone who makes an issue of holiness and righteousness. They laugh and scoff. He's something out of the Stone Age. Boy, he's left over. He's stuck in that old-fashioned religion. Yeah, he should have been born in another time. Yeah, he needs to get on board here. This is a different day. Different time, different generation. Doctrine of positional truth. Now, some of you may not even know what I'm talking about because I never preach that junk and nobody else ever has here. And so, you know, maybe you don't even understand what I'm talking about. But it's a big deal out there in all the Baptist churches. They preach positional truth. It's a whole system of believing or a whole body of teaching about it. It's where it's taught that no matter how we're living here, it is our position in Christ that determines our eternity. I mean, that's really the gist of all of it. Don't worry about your sin. Don't worry about your failures and your faults and your weakness and all that. Your position is secure in Christ. You are in, so you're okay. You're going to heaven. You may go kicking and screaming, but you're going. It's all offshoots of once saved, always saved. That messed up way of teaching security. You say, boy, some of them, I mean, they'll lose their mind when they hear me say that. I believe in eternal security of the believer, not of everybody that makes a profession of faith. And it's real simple to see who's real. They keep on, they continue, and they don't live in sin. Amen. Real simple. But positional truth makes everybody safe. Once they're in, they're safe. No matter how they live, because of their position in Christ. They can always go back to that and say, well, I'm in Christ. My position is secure. So no matter how I live. It don't matter if I go ahead and commit adultery. If I leave my wife and my kids and go with this other woman. Or if I get drunk once in a while. If I want to drink, if I want to do this, whatever. It don't matter, man. He will not remove me from my position. That teaching cannot lead anywhere but to looser living. It does not lead to holiness. No possible way. Why worry about doing right when your hope of heaven is based upon that kind of reasoning? All these doctrines add up to what we call easy believism. Converts are made by teaching these doctrines, and they all testify confidently that they're going to heaven when they die. But they don't live right. I've been in church for a long, long time. And I've watched it over and over during the invitation. How many of you know you're going to go to heaven when you die? Everybody raise their hand. Even people that don't even come most of the time, but they just go ahead and raise their hand because they think they're going to heaven when they die. Or they don't want to stand out in the crowd or whatever. They don't know they're going to heaven when they die. Not really. But they think they do because they're banking on one of these or more of these things here that we've been talking about. They're all sure of it. They seem to be sure of it. The fact is that none of these modern doctrines are true the way they're being taught and understand. All right, now listen to me. It is claimed that they're based on the scriptures, but none of them will stand the test of comparing spiritual with spiritual or scripture with scriptural. Not one of these doctrines that I mentioned or teachings will stand the test. They won't. Christians are to love one another. Yes. Charity, main thing. Nothing else. I mean, about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter about charity. We know that. God so loved the world. Jesus said that he gave his only begotten son. And Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one for another. We're to love one another and we're to have compassion on the lost, but not to leave off righteousness and standing against sin and wickedness. A Christian who won't stand against sin and wickedness does not love God, and he does not love others. He loves himself, and that's all. If you won't stand and say that's wrong, that's wicked. You know, the Muslims, there's an issue there the other day, and that was the deal. You know, some guy said some ugly things about Muslims, so here comes a woman, naturally, jumping on him, preaching to him about how no scripture. She don't know the scripture. She doesn't read it, obviously, because she has no understanding about it. But it's this love thing, love. You don't love. You're being hateful. You know, you ought to love those people. Love those people that's coming to cut your head off? Yeah. No, sir. That ain't the way it works. Now, we're talking general terms. We're talking about an enemy. We're not talking about an individual person. When it comes to individual people, that's not how we deal with them as Christians. No. But as Christians, we don't sit around and just love everybody and without any kind of recognition of evil or no consideration of righteousness and wickedness. That's stupid. To say, I mean, you know, that may sound simple, but that is just what it is. That is foolishness. And it's ignorance about the Word of God. God never commanded us to do anything like that. He never taught us to do it. Jesus told His disciples, I told you before, to get rid of your sword. I'm telling you now, you better get one. Yes, He did. Did you ever read that in the Bible? Did you ever read about where God said, go kill every one of them? Everything that breathes, kill it. That's God. That's the same God that so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus ran him out of the temple with a whip. And He didn't say kind words to him. He didn't say, I'm doing this in love now. And I've learned now Jesus loves you. I'm just doing this. No, that ain't. He put him out. He said, you made my Father's house. It's a house of prayer. It's supposed to be called a house of prayer. You made it into a den of thieves. Get out of here. Can you imagine? Little sweet, soft, feminine Jesus that you see all the pictures of. And He's coming back and they ain't going to recognize Him because He's not going to be that way. He wasn't the first time He came either. Yeah, we're to love, but not the kind of love. It's a perverted, selfish, sensual, earthly kind of what they're calling love. It's not the love of God, the love of Christ. Christians are not above being tempted and sinning. I'm going back over these doctrines. You understand that? We're not above sinning. The Christian life is a life of, but it's not a life of defeat to sin and bondage in sin. It's a life of victory over sin. We're not above being tempted. And we're not above sinning. I mean, I got to say that. But it's not any kind of habitual, continual sin. A just man falls 7 times, but he rises up again. You don't continue in it. Now, you cannot believe that and be right. Sin is a crime and an offense against God and others. It's not a debt that can be paid with a price. Christ is the atonement for our sins. And to equate His life, the life of Christ, and His blood to something as base as money is irreverent and it's blasphemous. And it shows a lack of understanding about the whole matter. Yes! Making Jesus' blood equal with money. It's just a price. It's just a payment. No, it's much, much more than that. If we even entertain the thought that we can obtain forgiveness for our sins by simply doing good, then our righteousness is filthy rags. If you try to get to heaven by just turning over a new leaf and I'm just going to do right now and I'm on the throne, you missed it, man. And you ain't going to make it. And what you're doing is abomination in the sight of God. There ain't but one reason and one way for you to get right with God and to be righteous, and that is to believe in Jesus Christ and to put all of your trust in what He has done and in Him for the atonement for your sin. You must obtain forgiveness. And you can't do that by just, well, here are some good things I'm doing, Lord. Watch this. That's the way of Cain. And that's the way of all those people that are going to be standing there in front of Him that day that He said are going to say, but Lord, didn't we do many marvelous works in Thy name? That's those people. They were trusting in their own righteousness, what they were doing, and the way they believed and what they felt. There's a lot, and man, I should have made this into more than one message because it's too many ways to go. But I'm telling you, that's our righteousness. It's not God's righteousness. It can be what we believe. I know people who believe fervently all this doctrine and all this stuff, but it's their righteousness. Biggest part of it may be right, but they're trusting in that and the fact that they believe that that's what's gained them favor with God. And they don't know Jesus. And they don't mention Him either. You can tell that. When a preacher preaches, he never mentions Jesus. These preachers just say, God, 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 bless God, blah, God, blah, blah. I listened to a preacher here a while back, and he never mentioned Jesus one time. Never mentioned sin in the whole message. Never mentioned salvation other than just in an abstract way. Yeah. I probably missed you on that one, but maybe we can just come back and hammer that some other time. But to the soul that is truly trusting in the blood of Christ as the atonement for his sin, a life of sacrifice and suffering and even martyrdom is not filthy rags in the sight of God. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And he said that three times in three Gospels, the exact same words. Let your light shine before men. Let your light shine before men. That why? So they can see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So don't tell me that it doesn't matter. It does matter. God does impute His righteousness to those who give up their own righteousness and trust in Christ. But it's not some mystical thing that goes on in heaven while we continue in our sin here on earth. It means, here's what it means. God imputes His righteousness. It means that God sees us as righteous because the life we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God. Now, hang on. Don't drop it there. What does that mean? Is that some mystical thing that we imagine or claim or pretend? No, if the life that we now live by the faith of the Son of God, if it really is that, we're going to actually live righteously here and now. And see, there's where you part ways, because they say, all these people who teach these doctrines and everybody that believes that, they say, nobody can keep God's commandments. When the Bible plainly says, "He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Jesus said over and over in different ways, "He that loveth me, he it is. He that keepeth my commandments, he it is that loveth me." If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Jesus said this stuff, and yet preachers and everybody now says, nobody can keep his commandments. And if you say you do, you're a liar. See how they've twisted the scriptures? The scripture really says that if you say you can't, you're a liar. Or if you don't, you're a liar. And that now we're being taught that if you say you do, or even try to, you're a liar and deceiving, you're a fool. We're all sinners. Everybody knows it. Ain't nobody not a sinner. You saying you don't sin? That's their argument, see. Messed up. All right, God does impute His righteousness, but that's the way it is. If the life we now live by the faith of the Son of God, we're going to do right. We're going to teach. We're going to do right. How about this, Titus 2, chapter 12? Teaching us that the grace of God teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. I could stand here all day, literally, and quote verses of scripture like that, that plainly teach that the real people of God live righteously and are holy people in this present world, not just in some imaginary future state. Righteousness. True Christians are members of the body of Christ, and their position in Christ, there is that. We are members of His body. So there is a position, but there's no such thing as being a member of the body of Christ and continuing to live a life without practical righteousness. Here's you some scriptures. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. If you know that He is righteous, okay. Now, is it the righteousness by faith? By the faith of the Son of God, that's God's righteousness that is imputed to us. You got it? If you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. So, there's no such thing as saying, I'm righteous in heaven and God sees me as righteous because He's looking through the blood and it changes the way I really look. So God don't, I'm really wicked, but God sees me as right. No, ain't no such thing as that. If He's righteous, and we believe He's righteous, and we know He's righteous, and we have faith in Him, we're going to be righteous. We're going to do righteousness. We're going to do righteousness. Not believe in some fantasy in the future or in heaven now. It's right here now. We're going to live godly, soberly, and righteously in this present world. Because we believe in the Son of God. And He lives in us. Little children, 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. And the context is exactly what I'm talking about. Don't let somebody come along and say that you can be righteous in heaven or in God's eyes while you're really not righteous in practical life.
Right.
Amen. It's a lie. Don't let them lie to you. John, tell us here in the Bible, the Word of God, don't let them lie to you about this. Ain't no such a thing. The only people that are righteous are those who do righteousness. And their righteousness is not what makes them righteous. It's His righteousness. It's Him. It's believing in Him. It's knowing He's righteous and giving up on your own righteousness. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not, I quote this to you often, so you ought to be able to, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. He that doeth not righteousness. He don't live righteous. He won't do right. It don't matter to him. It's a non-issue to him. He's righteous in heaven. God imputed his righteousness to him up in heaven on the books, so he's okay. But he don't live right. He's not righteous. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Now, How could God have written it down any plainer and more straightforward than that? I don't care what they teach in the colleges. I don't care what the theologians say and their books say and what they believe and what all. I don't care if 10,000 Baptist preachers say that ain't true. Right there it says it in the Word of God. Now, do you believe the Word of God or do you believe the modern generation? You going to be contemporary and accept what the majority can't be wrong. You're crazy. They absolutely, most of the time, almost always, the majority is wrong. That's why he wrote it down and said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. This book's going to last forever. It is preserved forever. And there it is right there. He said it. You don't do righteousness, you're not of God. If you're of God, you're going to do right. What exactly is righteousness? Well, we've already talked about it. It's the purity of heart, rectitude of life, conformity of heart and life to the divine law. It is just living right, doing right in God's sight. I've said this to you quite a few times, but I'm going to say it again. God's righteousness. I mean, this blows away all that high talk and high theology and deep things that they try to make it into. Here's what it is. God's righteousness is what God says is right. It's what God deems as right. Your righteousness is what you deem as right. Very simple. And everybody here has got a degree of your own righteousness still. It's the thing that God spends our lifetime trying to root out of us. My ideas, my opinion, my feelings, how I feel. Oh, this is what I feel. This is what I believe. This is what I think. It's your righteousness, and it is filthy rags.
Yep.
Yes, sir, buddy. You cannot have God's righteousness and your righteousness. You can't have it both ways. That's what Paul said here, being found not having my own righteousness. He said, I've lost everything. I've given everything up. I count it nothing but dump. Everything I've ever thought, everything I've ever learned, everything I've ever believed, ever felt, loved, hated. He said, I count it all as dump that I might be found in Him. You know, that I might, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. All right? My righteousness. When we disagree and remain defiant, when we know the Bible says thou shalt or thou shalt not, it's your righteousness. We're proving that we're living according to our own righteousness and not God's. You hear me? Now, I'm just going to hammer that right at you again. When you know what the Bible says about things. There's some things that are wrong. God says, thou shalt not. God says it is an abomination in my sight. And if it's not an abomination in your sight, you're living by your own righteousness. You don't care about God's righteousness. You're defiant against God's righteousness. You got what you think. You live according to what you believe and what you want. And you're going to do it your way, no matter what God says. And you're going to bust hell wide open. I don't care how good you are, how kind you are, how sweet you are, how much everybody loves you. Any kind of heart that's got that kind of attitude is going to end up in hell. Because it's your own righteousness. It's your own way. It's old self. Let me hurry up here. Oh, God. When we agree and comply with what God says is right, God then sees us as righteous. Listen to this. Listen to this verse. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Why did he see Noah righteous? Bible tells us in the New Testament that Noah was a preacher of righteousness in a world that it was insane like ours. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Eating and drinking and all that. Well, that's the way it is now. But God saw Noah as righteous in that generation. Why? Because he was righteous. He believed God. And he was moved with fear. Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which, listen, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. How about that? Same old way. Noah didn't do what he thought. He did what God said. He didn't guide his life. He didn't live his life. He didn't do what he did because of what he thought or wanted or felt. He did it because God warned him of things he had never seen before. He believed God. Just like Abraham believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Because Noah, he did what God. He did what was pleasing in the sight of God. But the Bible says about Jesus, he did always those things that please him. That's God's righteousness. Righteousness is by faith. But true saving faith brings us to Christ and a new birth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things are passed away. And behold, all things are become new. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Don't matter what you do, but a new creature. A new creature. Repentance. Oh, now this is here. I'm going to shut her down here, but please listen. This is so important. Repentance is really about turning from your own righteousness. We focus on sin. But the basis of your sin is your own righteousness. Our own righteousness is the basis of our sin. Our own righteousness is what we have justified our sin with. We've used it to justify our sin, our own righteousness. Because I don't see nothing wrong with it. I don't see what's wrong with it. I don't believe there's any harm in it. I don't have to do it just because that's... So we cannot truly have faith in Christ and not live righteously. You understand that? Do y'all understand that? You cannot believe in Christ and live unrighteously. Now you're deceived if you do. If you think you're doing that, you're deceived about your soul, and your soul is in great danger of eternal damnation. Can't have it that way. The righteousness, which is of by faith, you got to have that. That's the kind of righteousness you got to have. Not your own. Until a person has truly given up his own righteousness, he has not truly repented of his sin. I don't care if he quits smoking, quits drinking, quits whoring around, quits all the superficial sins and starts coming to church and paying tithes and being a faithful member. I don't care if he does all of that. If he don't turn from his own righteousness, he ain't done nothing. If he still sits there in the pew and argues and got his opinions, then, well, I ain't doing that. He never convinced me of that. I've heard women say, he ain't never going to convince me of that. Self-righteous, lost soul is what that. I don't care if you've been baptized. I don't care if you stand up and say, praise God. And I don't care what all you do in your righteousness. As long as you got that heart and that attitude. Me. I'm going to do as I please. I think. I feel. I just don't agree with that. All of that's my righteousness. Now, you don't have to agree with Mike Miller. But you better be in agreement with God Almighty. And as long as Mike Miller is telling you what God Almighty says, straight from the Word of God, you better get your eyes off Mike Miller and whatever a hindrance I might be, and believe what God says. We cannot truly have faith in Christ and live unrighteously. Any kind of concept that anybody has of being saved and on their way to heaven while they continue to live in continual habitual sin is a lie, and they've deceived themselves. Now, we got to come to the end of ourselves. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Then said Jesus unto the disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. It's to give up the right to ourselves. First step, if you're going to go out, if you're going to follow Jesus, what's the first step? I just read it to you. If any man come after me, he must deny himself. Say no to yourself. Say no, self, you're wrong. No, self, we're not going to do it your way. No. No to yourself. You got to deny yourself. If any man is going to come after me, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So it's to give up the right to yourself. That's your righteousness. Your righteousness. Your righteousness is what you think, what you feel, what you want, what you believe. See, you can, man, it's so scary because you can believe a whole lot of truth and still die and go to hell because you still got your righteousness. I know lots of people. I couldn't convince them, no way that they're not right with God and that they're not great men of God and all this. Man, I know they're trusting in their beliefs. You got to trust in Jesus. That's what I've said to you before, and I know it's hard to get because I've had people try to get me to explain it better to them, and they can't get it. But You better have faith in Jesus, not faith in your faith. Most people, they base their assurance on how hard they believe, how strong they believe, how convinced they are that what they believe is right. They're trusting in that. Anything comes along and shakes that, they're in doubt and they're in trouble. No, get your eyes on Jesus. Have your faith in Him and you're on the rock. And no matter what happens in life, you're good. And it's the kind of faith that'll get you there. You can't, you know, you see all these celebrities and everybody else, and these people, this common people talking about to have this tragedy, and they say, well, my faith got me through. No, it wasn't your faith. Your faith ain't going to get you nowhere. Faith won't even get you to heaven. It'll get you to Jesus. You know, it can. Saving faith gets you to Jesus, and He can get you to heaven. He can make you righteous. Well, let me hurry up here. I just got a couple things here to say. The old man must be crucified with Christ before he can be risen with Christ to a new life. Jesus suffered complete injustice and was treated totally opposite from what he deserved when he was here on this earth. But he endured the cross, despised the shame, and suffered a cruel and undeserved death for the joy that was set before him. Do you have it? If we truly believe on him, we'll deny ourselves, we'll take up our cross and follow him, and our life will be a likeness of his life. Isn't that what Christian really means? Like Christ? The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch because they thought they were just like him. Isn't that what the whole idea of it is? We become a Christian, we become like Jesus. We're to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I mean, we're supposed to live our life like He did. Deny ourselves. He did. Take up our cross. He did. And follow Him. Do what He did. He atoned for our sins. He didn't give an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That ain't what Jesus did. He took us higher. Do you have that kind of faith? Do you have that kind of righteousness? Are you still strengthening the stronghold of your own righteousness? Are you? Sitting here this morning, in spite of everything I've said, you still sitting there arguing in your heart? Resisting this? Saying, oh, no, that's that thing. I ain't believing that. I'll go somewhere where somebody will tell me something. Oh, have at it. You can go anywhere and they'll tell you junk. They won't tell you nothing. That's what we was talking on the way to church this morning about somebody I talked to and how confused they are. That's what I said. It don't matter. If he go to church, he ain't going to get no help. Ain't nobody going to tell him any truth. Ain't nobody going to tell him anything that's going to help him. Because he's so deep in the darkness and so confused with all his nonsense and lies. And they ain't going to help him. They're going to eat pizza and have a good time and sing and listen to rock music. And something you ought to grieve about too.
Yes, sir.
If your heart's still arguing and resisting, then you're still clinging to your own righteousness. And that means you're not subject to the law of God. That's what it means. That's the carnal man. That's the unregenerate man. Neither indeed can be. So until you throw all that away and cast yourself upon the Son of God who gave His life for you, you're not saved. And your soul is in danger. And to be free from sin is to be free from that tyrant of self that demands his own way in all things. To be free from sin is to be free from self. Given over. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see?
Yep.
Don't that make sense to you? Don't the scriptures all come together when you start looking at it this way? Because it's the truth. This is the truth. This is the truth that'll make you free. And if the truth makes you free, you'll be free indeed. You'll have that life, and you'll have that life Jesus talked about, and have it more abundantly. When you stop this nonsense of trying to hold on to your sin and justify it and make excuses for your lousy living and your unfaithfulness to God and your apathy about the work of God. When you stop all that and realize, you know, God's honor is what's at stake. If I'm going to represent Him, you know, that's a terrible way to do. Ain't it a shame for a family when they've got one member of the family that just lives like a dog in front of everybody around? Yes, it is. It doesn't honor the family. What does it do to the family if one of them turns out and is honorable and does right and does good and it brings honor? Well, that's the way it is. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. To have God's righteousness is to believe in Him and to deny ourselves. I mean, really deny ourselves. Stop this nonsense that, well, I believe and I was taught. I've told you before how that most of the growth in the Christian life is unlearning what we learned all of our life. It's not really learning new things and new truths. It's just unlearning. And that's what this is about this morning, getting rid of your own righteousness. That's what it is. All right, well, let's stand. Stand. I just got to quit. Got to quit. I hope that you listen. I hope that you'll think about these things. I hope you want more than just this generic religion that everybody's got nowadays. Hope you want more than that. You need to have assurance and peace and hope in these days we're living in. Dark days, man. Last days, end of times, end times here we're living in. I've been reading in Revelation and how, oh my, it's just so, man, such an awesome. I've been reading it all my life here, 40 years of my life, and I just can't, even when I read it now, it's still just like, it's just, it never seems old. It's never, well, I read that before. It just keeps jumping out at me every time. We read this morning and got to that seventh seal. And before that, why, there was silence in heaven. And then there was the four angels were loosed and about the winds, and no wind blew on the earth or on the sea. Can you just think about that for a minute? Absolute stillness on the whole earth. Because it's fixing to really break loose. Better not mess around with your soul. Better quit fooling around. Better get serious about serving God, believing right, serving God. I mean, you better cast it in there. You better get in on board. Because the ship's fixing to sail. And you're going to be left behind. You just keep fooling around. Oh, if I grab you and shake you, I would. I'm pleading with you, though. You better give your heart and life to Christ. Believe Him. Do what He says. Live right. Ignore all these naysayers that say it don't matter. You better realize it does matter. Bow with me. Father, thank You for the Word of God. And thank You for the help this morning. And Lord, thank You for the truth here, the message. I pray You would help us to understand this right. I know, Lord, it's over some people's heads. It's not, they don't understand. It's not really that righteousness is not an issue with them. It's just that they just don't get it. They don't understand. They don't think and consider these things enough. Please wake them up, Lord. I pray You would help us all to live in a way that's pleasing to You. So we won't be ashamed before You at Your coming. This is what the grace of God does for us. It's preparing us for that coming and being brought face to face with You. Lord, help us to live right and to be lights in the midst of this crooked and perverse nation that we live in. Bless Your word to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen.